My name is Kate Yan. I'm an associate professor at George Washington University's School of Public Policy and Public Administration. I study state and local government finances, which includes the finance and financial management of school districts, as they are local governments themselves. New construction and facility updates are expensive. They're examples of what we call capital projects, which school districts pursue to acquire or improve their physical capital. Often, school districts do not have sufficient cash on hand to pay for the costs upfront. Some state governments may offer unconditional or matching grants to school districts for capital projects, but those grants are unlikely to be sufficient for large projects. As a result, districts borrow money to fund capital projects, and the most important place they borrow is the municipal bond market. Even though it's called municipal bond market, it's not limited to municipalities, only but it's accessed by state and local governments in general. By issuing a bond on this market, a district is able to raise a large amount of capital from a wide range of investors. So using this borrowed money, the district completes the capital project and then repays the debt during the subsequent years using taxes collected in those years. This is not unlike how individuals take on a mortgage to buy a home. Using debt may also facilitate what we call the intergenerational equity principle, that the beneficiaries and payers of a government service should be the same. If a bond is being repaid at the same time as the facilities are being used, the residents who benefit from the services of the new facilities will be the ones paying taxes, which is then used to repay the debt. You're absolutely right that almost all states require school districts to receive voter approval first before issuing a general obligation bond, which is backed by the district's general tax revenue. Once voters approve the bond, the district will work with several external groups to develop the financing plan and the structure of the bond. This includes first the bond council, who provides a legal opinion on the bond's legality and tax-exempt status. The municipal advisor acts as a fiduciary to advise the government about how to structure the bond. And finally, the underwriter markets the bond to investors. Besides the three parties, bond council, municipal advisor, and underwriter I just mentioned, the district may also purchase a credit rating from a rating agency, such as Moody's or S&P Global Ratings. The ratings reflect the creditworthiness of the bond as perceived by the rating agency and reduce the information barrier faced by investors. If a government issuer does not pay for a rating, then the bond will remain unrated. Investors would then need to collect their own data to assess the creditworthiness of the unrated bond. In contrast, if a rating is purchased, then investors could instead rely on the credit rating for a rated bond and assess the creditworthiness and how likely they will be paid back or accordingly. Unsurprisingly, districts pay a lower interest rate if they receive a high rating from credit rating agencies, and that's the rationale for them to really engage those rating agencies and receive that assessment from the rating agencies. I mentioned before that many states require voter approval before a local government, including school districts, could issue a general obligation bond. Among the states requiring voter approval, 37 states require a simple majority for bond referendum passage, that is 50% or more of those who turn out vote in support. The rest of the 10 states require a supermajority, ranging from 55% in California to 67% in Idaho. The rationale behind the requirement is often a concern about too much local government debt and the resulting tax burden on residents, because the debt has to be repaid by tax dollars collected by the governments, the issuer. The main challenge this requirement creates is the underinvestment in capital projects among districts. works by researchers from Yale, University of Southern California, and Public Policy Institute of California show that increased school capital spending after a successful election raises test scores, as well as housing prices on average. This means a very high threshold for bond approval, which is the case with in the supermajority voting state, may cause districts to spend less on capital projects that are otherwise optimal for students and homeowners in those jurisdictions. There are 38 states providing aid for capital projects to school districts. Seven of those offer lump sum aid that does not depend on local contribution, right? It's the same amount per pupil for all districts. 22 offer matching aid, where the local share may or may not be adjusted for local property wealth level. So ideally, if we want the state funding to be progressive, the amount of state funding provided to each on a per pupil basis should differ and should be more for school districts where local property wealth level is low. And then the rest of the states offering transfers for capital project purposes combine the two approaches. In some cases, it's a lump sum. In other cases, some portion of it will be adjusted for local property worth. So state grants is one approach. The other approach that state can provide assistance to school districts for capital spending purposes is loan. And states could provide essentially a low interest or no interest loans to districts. And this loan fund will come from the state's own resource revenue or from a state entity called the bond bank. And this bond bank will borrow money by issuing pooled financing bonds. And then the borrowed money by the bond bank will then be handed out to school districts as loans. And because states generally can access the bond market under a low interest rate, and that bond bank arrangement will then enable state to provide really low interest loans to a school districts. Both approaches are widely used and are helpful supplements to the bond market that are directly accessed by school districts themselves.